Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, church.
They'll adjust me. I know it's a little loud coming in, but I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for being a part of our services today. Thank you for tuning in if you're unable to be with us here. As we have mentioned now several times, it is VBS season, and I can't think of a better way to start off the summer, if you will, than by having Vacation Bible School. I do want to say that in order for something like a Vacation Bible School to run smoothly, and there's always going to be hiccups here and there, but you've had to have great organizers, great planners, and great workers behind the scenes. And I'm not going to call those names because I'll leave somebody out because there's so many, but I do appreciate from the bottom of my heart this church, this eldership, appreciate so much those who are working so hard to help this Family Vacation Bible School go well. If you are an adult, do not think it's just for the children. Do not think that. Now, we've been doing Vacation Bible School around here a long time. We've always had classes for adults. Do not let the adult teacher deter you from not coming back. That would be me. All right? So, come on back and be here tonight. It's going to be great. Be here every night, so that we can let this community and fill this place up with children and adults and teenagers who are hungering and thirsting for the love of God. This year's theme is the word heart. And if you have not figured it out yet, Justin's really good at remembering those ladies who were studying, but it took me a minute, but I've put it together now. Heart are the ladies we're studying. Hannah, Esther, Abigail, Ruth, and Tabitha, H-E-A-R-T. And those ladies are special, and that is our theme. I want us to learn from these ladies the heart desires that they had, the desires to serve that God used to do great things throughout history through these great heroes of the Bible. But I want you to know, I was supposed to turn the slide there, by the way. I want you to know that sometimes it's hard for us to have that kind of heart. Sometimes it's hard to have a heart of prayer like Hannah. Sometimes it's hard to have a heart of service like Esther. We could go on down the list, right? The reason it's hard, why is it hard? Well, there are a lot of distractions in life. There are a lot of things that get in the way. Right now, you may be thinking, as I prayed in the Shepherd's Prayer this morning, you may be thinking about things at work. You may be thinking about issues at home. You may be thinking about rising costs of everything and lowering costs of bank account. There's a lot that goes into Satan distracting us. There's a lot that goes into people and others that Satan uses to discourage us. But I want you to know today that yes, our hearts have to be like these ladies and so many other heroes of the Bible. Bill mentioned it just a moment ago. It's about the heart. If we're going to have a heart of service or a heart of giving or a heart of thanksgiving, it starts in the heart. But sometimes our hearts aren't where they need to be. Maybe because sometimes, flat out, our hearts are just broken. Our hearts are in pieces. They're in shambles. Maybe we're just sad. Maybe we're just down. Maybe it's because of decisions we've made that we're all so broken. You see, Jesus said that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, soul, and strength. If we're going to love God with all of our heart, we can't be in a bunch of broken pieces. The good news is today that you, if your heart is broken, if your heart and your life is in so many different pieces, God, through Jesus Christ, is the one who can put it all back together. And today, if we will study this and we will look at this and we will challenge ourselves and allow God in to put those heart pieces back together, then we'll have no trouble today loving God with all of our heart, serving God with all of our heart. Giving to God with all of our heart. Praying to God with all of our heart. Telling others about Jesus Christ with all of our heart. You see, a long time ago, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 specifically, God asked the question. He asked the question to Adam. He asked, "Where are you?" Now, I do want to suggest to you, God knew exactly where Adam was. You cannot play hide and seek with God. The details before God asked this question occurred earlier in the Bible, in the fall of man. You see, God created Adam, and He created man to have dominion and over all the animals of the earth. But He realized that in that creation it was not good for man to be alone. So there's a love story right off the bat in the Bible. God put Adam in a deep sleep. You know the story. We've learned it in VBS, right? We've learned it in Bible class. We've talked about it from this pulpit. I've preached on it many times over the years. But God took a rib from Adam's side, and He formed woman, Eve as we refer to her. And when Adam wiped the sleep from his eyes, if you will, he looked at Eve and thought it was the most beautiful being he had ever seen. "Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man," he said. God then joined them together as one in paradise. You want to talk about a beautiful wedding scene? It doesn't get any prettier than paradise, right? The Garden of Eden. He forms them, He joins them, He marries them, and everything was just great until Satan slithered right in. Satan slithered his way into Eve's life and Adam's life, and they fell. They were separated from God. And instantly, when sin came upon them and they had that knowledge of good and evil, they realized that them not having clothes on was a shameful thing. And so what did they do? They went and they hid themselves. They hid themselves because they were afraid. Their heart, which was once so pure, was now so broken and tattered. And so God asked the question, "Where are you?" When God asked that question, you know what? Paradise was broken. The bond between God and man was broken. Hope was broken. Perfection was broken. And Adam and Eve's lives, as I just mentioned, were broken. What was God to do? Take His greatest creation of all mankind and just say, "That's it. They can't ever be back whole again." Or He was going to send the only one who could put the pieces back together. And that's exactly what He did. He sent His only begotten Son, who loved the world so much that He gave His life. His life for you, His life for me, and His life for all. So the question today, fast forward to June the 5th, 2022, from the beginning of time in Genesis, or the beginning of time as we know it, in Genesis chapter 3. Fast forward to right now. The same question God is asking. Where are you? Where are you? "Oh, I'm sitting in the pews of the Azalea City Church of Christ." Yeah, I get it. He knew where Adam and Eve were hiding too. But where are you spiritually? Where's your heart today? Are you a person without vision? Maybe that's you today. "I can't love God with all my heart because I don't have the vision to see that He's going to take care of me." Well, I want you to know, Christ made the blind to see. Are you without feeling today? Are you numb today? Do you feel like you can't move today? Well, I want you to know Jesus Christ made the lame to walk. Are you living a life that is sinking fast? We're not standing on solid ground. We're sinking so fast, so quickly, and it seems like there is no hope. Jesus saved people like Peter from drowning after he had walked right on top of their problem. Are you living a life without hope? Jesus raised the dead. Are you brokenhearted? Christ is the healer of broken hearts. Today, I don't have a neat alliteration. I don't have catchy little rhyming points. But I do have 3 points. And I think it's going to help you today. It's going to be reminders today. You might have to write them down because they won't jar your memory because some of them are even a little bit long in their points. But the reality is this. If you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, like a Hannah, like a Esther, and etc., if you can't love God with all your heart right now, there is a reason. And if your heart is broken and torn into pieces, I want you to remember that it's only Christ who can put those pieces back together. First of all, this morning, the question is very simple. What causes a broken heart? Well, our hearts can be broken because of overwhelming circumstances. There are our friends from Ukraine today that are here. Over 100 days, their country has been in war. I look on and some that I am friends with on Facebook, I watch the devastation that's going on in that country, and I can't help but think, if my heart is broken, how broken is theirs? There have been moments in a blink of an eye in different parts where tornadoes have come through and ravaged towns and cities and homes and businesses. Can you imagine the overwhelming brokenness? Somebody going through moments like that. What about those who are hungry today? What about extreme illnesses today? Getting the news from the doctor that you only have months to weeks, weeks to months to live. Brokenheartedness. You know, deep sorrow can also cause a broken heart. Sorrow by a loss of a loved one. In 2 Samuel 18, verse 33, we have these words. Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if I only had died in your place, oh Absalom, my son, can you hear the words of King David broken over the loss of his son Absalom? He was so broken because his son had died. Even all the trouble that he had caused him and all the heartache that had happened, he was broken and he just wished that he could have died in the place of his son Absalom. Today, there are those in this room that have lost children, that have lost other loved ones, and your heart may still be broken. How about our Savior? He gets to the scene, even though he knew what he was going to do, and I believe it was part of his plan of doing amazing things and miracles to raise Lazarus from the dead. Can you remember when he gets there in John 11 and those sisters were crying like they were? They were upset like they were. maybe even blaming him for not being there sooner. Again, Jesus knew he was going to call Lazarus out. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and everything was going to be okay. But when he looked and he saw the hurt of his loved ones, we have those two words, Jesus wept. He wept because those he loved had hearts that were broken. Sometimes our hearts get broken by failure. There are some in this room today that have been in relationships. And there was a time in those relationships that there was a lot of love. And there was a lot of happiness and joy even. Perhaps even out of that you have wonderful children. Maybe even wonderful grandchildren today. But somewhere along the way, maybe because of sin or some other circumstance, that relationship failed. I have described divorce as a death that is still alive. When I encounter people that are going through divorces, they mourn. They mourn. Why? Because two become one. And then one says, hey, I don't want this anymore. And they sever that relationship, but they're still alive. It's a mourning that never goes away on our own. Maybe today you're here and you've had some kind of job or business and you've put so much money and invested so much time and so much effort in it and it's failed. And now your heart's broken. But you know, certainly we can have a broken heart because of sin. You know, we get in our own way so many times. God has made the way. He cleared the path. You think about literally, He did that through John the Baptist, right? He prepared the way and cleared the path for Jesus to come. Well, Jesus came and it cleared the path for us to clear the path for Jesus' return. But sometimes we stumble and fall because we are too stubborn to get out of our own ways. I said this in my class this morning. There is no part of me that believes on the night that David had an affair with Bathsheba that he set out to have an affair. I do not believe that David had, hey, I'm going to wake up from this sleep and I'm going to go sleep with another man's wife. I do not believe that. He was a man after God's own heart. But he woke up. Maybe he was worried. Maybe he was disgruntled. Maybe there was something going on besides this war. But he's worried about, I believe, the soldiers and everything else. He goes out maybe to get a deep breath. Maybe even to pray. And Bathsheba, I'm not going to beat her up and because she's getting a bath, because she probably thinks, hey, nobody's awake at this time. And I'm going to go up and I'm going to bathe. But David looks over and Satan gets involved. Now you can blame David a lot. Because he could have looked and he could have looked away. But now he looks and he lusts and he sins and they have an affair. Then he gets even deeper in it. Hey, you know what? I'm gonna bring Uriah home. Say, hey man, go home, be with your wife, because she's now, you know, he knows she's pregnant with his baby, David does. I'm going to go say, hey, go home. He's going to be with his wife. I'm going to walk out and say, hey, congratulations, you're going to be a dad, Uriah. Yeah, good job. Well, that didn't work. So he says, you know what, now I'm getting a little bit more desperate. Let's get him drunk. Certainly in a drunken stupor, he'll stumble home and he'll go in and be with his wife and congratulations, that didn't work. Well, I don't know what else to do. I got to get him out of the picture. Let's put him on the front line and have him killed. And that's exactly what happened. And David was going around with sin, his own sins in his heart. And it took Nathan to say, you are the rich man. And David penned those words in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, So yes, our own sins can cause a broken heart, but so can the sins of others. In Luke 15, the prodigal son, you think that father's heart wasn't broken because of the mistakes his son was making, but he didn't hold it against him. You see, Jesus' mission was to come to this earth, to bleed, to suffer, to die, to be resurrected, to heal the hearts and lives of those who are willing to be healed. In fact, in John chapter 14, he told his own disciples there, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Second thing I'd like to talk about today is this. Our Lord, it's a fact, right? Our Lord is extremely or very qualified to heal and fix our broken hearts today. Turn the back in your Bibles to where Bo read to us from Psalm 147. Psalm 147, I want to read. He read 1 through 3. I'm going to read all six of these verses here. Here's how it reads, beginning in verse 1. "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground." Think about this. This is what I love about this psalm. The one who can count the stars can also heal our broken hearts. Christ understands broken hearts because Christ suffered from broken hearts. He had a broken heart over Jerusalem. He cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones, those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus' heart was broken because Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Jesus had a broken heart, as I mentioned, over Lazarus, over his family in John 11. Jesus' heart, you can read it, even though he knew it was coming, it was broken because Judas betrayed him. Jesus' heart was broken in Gethsemane when he knew what was about to happen. The separation from the Father, the physical pain he was about to go through. He prayed fervently and in anguish. Christ's heart, some have said, literally exploded while he was on the cross. You see, Jesus lost a lot of blood that day. He had been extremely tired, sleep deprived, started with the scourging, went through the crucifixion. Every breath he had to scrape up and down that tree. More blood, more blood, more blood. Some have said that his heart had to beat so fast to keep up with all the blood that was exiting his body that it literally could have exploded. Whether it did or not, I think we can say Jesus safely say that Jesus died of a broken heart. But you know, his heart still breaks over sin. Christ's heart still breaks over your family's problems. Christ's heart still breaks over weak faith. His heart still breaks over empty pews. His heart still breaks over his children who are hurting. But he still remains the true and only one who can heal our broken hearts today. Finally, this morning, I want us all to remember that Christ is still the great physician. Christ gave blind Bartimaeus his sight. Christ dried up the woman's disease and flow of blood in Mark chapter 5. Jesus calmed the storms in His disciples' lives. Jesus cast Satan out of Legion. Jesus saved His mother embarrassment in the wedding of Cana. Jesus gave the adulterous woman hope again. Jesus helped Zacchaeus feel special. Jesus filled the nets of some struggling fishermen. Jesus picked up the pieces of a broken relationship with the Father. And with those pieces, He built a bridge by giving His life on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ rebuilt what we lost in Adam. But the question still needs to be asked today. Where are you? I respect doctors. There are three that really mean a lot to me. One brought both my children into this world. The other two, of course, I love my brother Chris. Don't think I'm not talking about him, okay? But the other two, they have helped take care of my children. Make sure they grow up. Why do I single those out? Because I love my children. And I want my children to be healthy. And I want them to be great in the sight of God. You know, Jesus Christ, He is the great physician. You know what He's willing to do today? He's willing to take care of God's children. He's willing to bring you forth to be born again. He's willing to take care of your cuts, your bobos, your sicknesses, your illnesses, your broken hearts. He's willing to make it all go away. The question is today, if I want to love God with all of my heart, if I want to have hearts like these women we're going to be talking about and other heroes of the Bible, then either my heart's got to be put back together or something's got to be taken out of it. Today, Jesus can do both. Are you willing? Where are you? Make the decision right now. It's together. We stand and sing.